Good evening. I surprised Daniel tonight. I walked up here and he was at the computer. And I said I was preaching and he didn't know. So I almost was like, well, then you just preach, Daniel. And then I was like, no, I need to say what I'm going to say. My life has been crazy the last month and a half. Everybody knows that, I think. And if you don't, my wife's had some illnesses, and we've got through them. And I don't begin to understand how God works in my life. But I'm going to get through this lesson one way or another, so bear with me. This morning we were singing Saints, Lift Your Voices, and the second chorus I couldn't sing because for some reason I just get emotional about things I never get to get emotional about. But it started a month and a half ago or so in Novato when we were at a church visiting Sunday morning there. And the gentleman that was giving the talk that morning was in Genesis. And he had a main point was that in Genesis chapter 1 and through Genesis, the interpreters used the word God, 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 God. And the original term there should be gods. Why? Because of the Trinity, right? And at the time, I didn't really think much of it, and I could go and show you the verse where it does say gods, and why is it not gods? His point was, the children are playing, and the children is playing. If we were translating English, we would translate different is and are because of what's in front of and behind. And I guess the reason the original translator translated Genesis the way they did is because of what's before and what's after. Again, I have no understanding of the original language and all of that, like some of you do. But the reason a lot of times it says God instead of gods in there is simply because of what starts or follows it in the way that we translate it into English. So that was on a random Sunday, and I had no idea. So then last week, we were in Folsom visiting my brother and my sister-in-law, and David Posey, who a lot of you guys know, they're starting a class in John, and so we spent the class time in John chapter 1, the first 18 verses. And then he gave a lesson 45 minutes later on eternal life. And so I'd like to talk a little bit this evening about John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, mainly about Jesus. And then hopefully, towards the end, make some application. He said he stole the illustration, and so I asked him where he stole the illustration was, and he said, I don't remember. So I told him I would give him credit for this illustration that we're going to get to in a few minutes here. It has made me think about a lot of things. I sometimes know exactly what I want to talk about when I'm up here, and sometimes I have no idea. And even as I've studied this week and prepared for this evening, it's changed. And even as I was sitting there, I'm going to approach it a little bit differently than I was going to approach it because I'm up here speaking to myself. And I hope that you can make application as well in your own life. Hopefully I can share some things that maybe make you think. If you're in John, stay there. We're going to get there in a second. But I'm going to read Genesis real quick. Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness came over the surface of the earth. The Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was evening, there was morning, one day. John chapter 1. This Bible's been through a lot in the last. You guys remember those meatballs at the potluck? The sauce, those are in the bottom of them. I wasn't paying attention getting on the freeway, and all the sauce went all over this Bible. So I don't know what that has to do with tonight, but I thought it was gone, and it's not. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things that came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. there came a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He, John, was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light. There was the true light, which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We saw his glory, glory as to the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him, cried out, saying, "This was he whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through who? Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him." I'm going to share a few thoughts about this tonight. Hopefully I'm on par, and if I'm not, come talk to me. Verse 1. Read it to yourself quickly. Verse 1. What does "in the beginning" mean? What does it mean there? Dual meaning, but beginning or origin? Origin. See, sometimes I read that and I think, okay, Jesus was there at the beginning, Son of God. But what is it really saying? What does the "was" mean? And the Word was what? With God. So was Jesus, the Son of God, always there? He was. I know in my own life, and again, just simple things, but I have a tendency to think that God was there and then he created time, and then it's not by accident. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word there, that seems weird. The phrase "and the Word" is logos. Very common to the Jews and Greeks of the time. Very common. Okay? The Word was God. What does "was God" mean? Is that just simply a couple attributes of God? It's not, is it? Jesus was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2. He, who? Who's the he in that verse? Who's the he? Somebody say it. Jesus, right? There's a lot of he's in here and hims and whatever. He was in the beginning with God. Is that not the same statement as the first verse, essentially? So John the writer, what does he do? It's so important that who he's writing to understands that the Word, Jesus, was there in the beginning, that he not only says it once, but he says it twice. And if he says it twice, how important does that make it? And I can only liken that to my daughter. If I really want her to follow something, which sometimes she struggles with, what do? I say the same thing, but maybe in a different way. That's teaching 101, right? Parenting 101. You're really saying the same thing, but they think you have this great epiphany of, oh, I got another thing. You're saying the same thing. It's so important that the readers, and again, this was written to specific readers at the time, but can we glean from it? Absolutely. It's so important that we understand that God, that Jesus was in the beginning with God, that John says it a second time. Verse 3. all things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. This is kind of an interesting statement, isn't it? What does the rest of the book of John focus on? What do we have through Jesus Christ? Redemption. The rest of John is going to focus on redemption. That through Jesus Christ we have redemption. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Remember that we read in Genesis? We all came into being through God. We all came into being through God. And continuing on, as John writes later, which we're not going to focus on tonight, we're going to have redemption through the very same God that was already there before anything was created. So what do we owe to God? What do we owe to the Word? All, don't we? All. Verse 4, continuing with the thought. In him was what? Life. And life was the light of men. See, I find it interesting, and I maybe hadn't thought about it this way before. Genesis. What's the first thing that's talked about being created? Light. What can we do without light? Not much. So light was created first, and then everything that we have listed in Genesis after that, light was existent. It was there, right? Light. First thing was light. In him was life, and life was in the light of men. John chapter 5, verse 26. John chapter 5, verse 26. And again, I'm severely jumping into context here, but just bear with me. John chapter 5, verse 26. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. So he gave to the Son life. Chapter 5, verse 40. And you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. What? Life. Who's speaking there? Jesus. So how do we go? How do we get life? We come to Jesus. Chapter 10, verse 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I, Jesus, came that they may, what? Have life. And not only have life what? Abundantly. Abundantly. Chapter 14, verse 6. 14, verse 6. Jesus said to them, what? I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Can we get to the Father without Jesus Christ? We cannot. We cannot. 17, verse 3. 17, verse 3. And we never plan anything, but I thought it was interesting that Zach referenced Carter and that we shall see the King someday, eternal life. And it feeds exactly into hopefully some of the things I'm going to share. Chapter 17, verse 3. This is eternal life. What? That you, again, Jesus speaking here, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So the Son of God, there from the beginning, creation, right? All part of it, created us, and then God the Father sends God the Son, that what? That we may have life, but what kind of life? Eternal life. Eternal life. Eternal life. Light of men. Are we enlightened or not enlightened? We are enlightened. Why? Because Jesus. Because of the light of men. Because of the light of men. Verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. Light and dark. Again, simple concepts, but sin casts what? Does sin enlighten things or darken things? Sin darkens things, doesn't it? Sin casts a dark shadow. But again, what was created, or at least listed first, and I'm going to believe created first, what's the first thing we read? Light. With light there is no darkness. Has the light ever stopped shining from the beginning? At least the beginning of our time as we know it. Sun, moon, stars, right? Even the Israelites had some source, right? The light has not stopped. Jesus, has he stopped? I don't believe he has. Are we still enlightened? Do we still have light through Jesus Christ? Absolutely. Absolutely. Who was there from the beginning? Can it be dark where God is? No. Why? Because of the light. So in the realm of the divine, there is no darkness. Darkness did not comprehend it. Other translations, but cannot take possession of it. Darkness can't change the fact that there's light. It's the other way around, isn't it? Darkness can't make something that's light not light, if I said that right. It's the other way around. If something's dark, what do? We add light and it changes that. If there is light in the realm, it cannot be dark. Cannot be dark. John 12 and 35. And again, we're staying mostly in John because this is John's introduction, if you will, to this book. But he's going to continue again through the rest of the book and say that Jesus is the redemption. Through Jesus, we have redemption, that we might obtain eternal life. And he's introducing this book. John chapter 12 and verse 35. John chapter 12 and verse 35 says, Jesus said to them, "For a little while longer the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes." Can the darkness overtake us? It can. Can't it? It can. It can. Because it says, darkness will not overtake you. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 4. "But you, brethren, are not in darkness." So could they have been in darkness? They could have. But they're not. "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief." We can be in one or the other. Verse 6 and 7. "There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him." Again, not necessarily our discussion tonight or our topic tonight, but clearly at the time they were elevating, right? Putting people above where they shouldn't be. And who should be first? Jesus. Jesus should be first. There was one that came before that was prophesied about, but now we have Jesus. Verse 8, "He," John, "was not the light, but he came to testify about the light." Verse 9, "There was the true light, which, coming into the world, enlightens," what? "Every man." See, again, and I don't mean to make points that have already been made, but to us, no big deal, every man. Was that a big statement to them? Before Jesus, what was it? You were a Jew or you were not a Jew? What did Jesus say? It's for everybody. So the fact that John says enlightens every man is big. But who's the one that can enlighten every man? There's only one, Jesus Christ. Verse 10, he was in the world. The world was made through him. Again, Genesis. The Son of God was there. The world did not know him. So this is interesting again, and the world there, okay, in the midst of those who could have a response to God. So I know a lot of times when I read the world, I think, okay, well, that's the sinners, right? That's not necessarily the thought here, I believe. Jesus created, right, God, Trinity, created this, and then what? The world was made through him, and the world is anybody that can respond to God. Anybody. So Jesus was a Jew, yes? Jesus was the royal priesthood, came down through, and he's in the midst of the Jews, and what did the Jews do to him? They reject him. They reject him. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. The world did not know him. They did not know Jesus. They rejected him. Romans chapter 1 in verse 20. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. None of us have an excuse. His things have been seen. Verse 11. He came to his own. Again, the Jews. He came to his own. Those who were his own, what? Did not receive him. And again, that his own in the first part of the verse and the his own in the second part of the verse in the original text has different tense. Has different tense. So it could be read, he came to his own, own being home or things or creation. He came to his creation. And his own did not receive him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. The Jewish people met his appearance with what? With rejection and criticism. And I know, again, apply to myself. In 2019, it's sure easy just to read the Bible and take it for what it is. But who John's writing to, how much would that be? And can I put myself in those shoes and understand that the way that I need to understand it? Verse 12 and verse 13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become what? Children of God. Even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but what? Of God. See, we can be sons of God, can't we? We can. And I forget that. And hopefully in a few minutes here we can make an application. But I forget that. I can be a son of God. Will of flesh, will of man, those natural things. It's not a carnal or a fleshly birth that we obtain eternal life. Will of the flesh, will of man, that would be the natural process that we obtain life. Jesus is eternal, that we can obtain eternal life. Verse 14, the word, what? Became flesh. So the Son, beginning of time, okay, creation, all that. Then what? We come in with a spot where Son of God is now what? Flesh. Flesh. And what? Dwelt among us. And we saw his glory. Glory as to the only begotten Son from the Father. That's an interesting statement. Why? Because what did he just say? We can all be sons of God, right? But there's only one begotten Son of God. There's a difference. And there should be a difference between us and Jesus, shouldn't there be? But there's a difference there, the only begotten Son, because we can all be sons of God, but there's one begotten Son of God from the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. And the dwelt there is an interesting word. It actually means tabernacle or to pitch a tent. God dwelt among them, as in the Old Testament, right? Tabernacle, God was with them, veil was torn eventually, right? But that dwelt means God was in the midst of them, walking. Verse 15, John testified about him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me.'" Which again is interesting. If Jesus came after, how did he exist before? Over here we read in Genesis, didn't we? And the beginning of this book starts with the word beginning, right? He existed before me and before us. Verse 16, "For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace." See, that's interesting. What does he end that verse with? Why does he say grace twice? Wouldn't one grace be enough? I'm not John. I'm not the writer of this. But there's so much grace that saying grace once wasn't enough. It's grace heaped upon grace. That's what we have through Jesus and the eternal life that we can obtain. And the fullness there is also interesting. It refers to the Gnostic system of the sum of divine attributes, or the upper world. Again, I'm not a studier of Gnostics, but they believe that only a few had access to that upper world. That's what the Gnostics would believe. But didn't we just read? Who is it for? Everybody. Jesus opened it up to everybody. Verse 17, "For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." Jesus is the fulfillment. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten, again, because we can all be sons of God, but the begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. I stole this little excerpt from Dan King that I was reading. It says, "John says that while the unveiled essence of deity has never been revealed to mortal sight," true, right? God has not been revealed to mortal sight. "The real character of God can be seen in the Son, who is the fullness, the fullest expression of the Father, only begotten," the uniqueness of Jesus Christ, that we have those attributes. Do you guys mind if I use Hannah and Maddie? Am I going to upset anybody? I hope not. Hannah, come here. Maddie, come here. I have this. What is this? Here, take that. Walk that way. Nope. She's so well trained, she just follows. She didn't see where I pointed. Maddie, hold that. Keep going. Hold it. Hold it tight. What is this? You guys can talk. We're informal tonight. That gets all technical. It's a rope. Okay? What does a rope represent? I don't know, because I have to tell you, right? You don't know. Is there anything unique about this rope? Yeah, I don't know if everybody can see. In the middle, I took some electrical cord. And I put some electrical cord on there. So what is that electrical tape? I call it cord. Electrical tape. What does the electrical tape represent? Yeah, you don't know because I have to tell you, right? here's what, it's the middle, which is what I so often do with my own life. Okay? I start down here and I say, God created the earth. Somewhere down here, Jesus. Sometime later, Tim Woodside. And when I pass, there's going to be some more time. Okay? What if the rope represented eternity? In relation to my life, where would my life go in eternity if this was eternity? I don't know if I said that right. I would put my life right here. Okay? This is my life. And the rest of this would be eternity. And Hannah and I, believe it or not, talk about infinity. Is infinity a number? It's not, right? It's a concept, see? Infinity is not a number, it's a concept. But to talk about infinity, we have to put some restrictions on it and talk about it, okay? So eternity is eternity, but for illustration purposes, there is no end, but Hannah's holding the end of the rope. Eternity goes forever, okay? And I think about Jesus, who was from the beginning and covers till the end. And I take my own life, this, and how often in my own life, in the decisions that I make, in the way that I live, do I put myself in the center and make myself the center of that? When in essence, should I not be living my life for this? Does my puny little life matter in relation to eternity? What's more important? My however many years it might be in life, or the fact that the life that I live, the decisions that I make, who I serve for this little small portion controls the rest of that eternity. And how often do I make decisions based on that? Instead of thinking about how is this going to affect me tomorrow, how is my life, the God that I serve, and even the language that I use, if I will, how many times do I take into account that it's not about this, is it? No. It's not. It's not about this. It's about eternity. And that I can meet the Father and the Son. And anyone else who lives by God and spend eternity with God. But I sit in 2019 and I say, well, and it might be something little. It might be something little. I like, you guys can sit down. Thank you, ladies. Thank you. And again, I'm speaking to myself. So, thank you. I'm speaking to myself. But the words that I choose, the interactions that I have with anybody, if it's driving down the freeway, the interactions that I have with coworkers and with Christians, and the life that I'm living, is it taking into account eternity, or is it taking into account me? Because I would put before you tonight that it's eternity that matters. It's eternity that matters. And we are just a small portion of that. That if we spend eternity in heaven, that's what it's about, right? 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Beginning in verse 8. And again, I apologize for breaking into context, but 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. Who? Jesus Christ. Who was there in the beginning? Already there. Was. Not created there, not a part there, but was there. And dwelt among us. God among us. And again, I sit in my puny little bubble and think that my decisions and that my way is so important. And it's not. It's eternity that's important. Eternal life. And again, because of the things Angie's been going through and I started a new job, you guys all know that, it's been a crazy month and a half. And why we were in certain places to hear certain things, I don't know. God working in our life, maybe. Coincidence, maybe. Luck, not, because Daniel said no luck. But, fair. Sometimes things just hit us. And last week in Folsom, David pulled out a rope. And I said, you know, you're right. Does that mean that I'm a perfect person? Absolutely not. We just read, what do we all do? We all sin. But we have an advocate. And I, again, hope tonight maybe we've looked at a couple things in John chapter 1. What was important? As John spends the rest of the rest of the book talking about redemption, was that he introduced who Jesus Christ was. And we all have access to God because of God the Son. And that the decisions that I make are not nearly as important as where Hannah was standing, but for the rest of eternity. That the life that I live on this earth is important not because of what I do, not because of what I say or what I prove or what I make or the friends that I have. It's because of eternity. That I have eternal life. Thank you for your attention tonight. Just a few thoughts tonight. Eternal life is important. And I feel like I'm harping it. It's not a harp. I've had an amazing month for so many reasons because of some of the realizations that the second time we went to the hospital, it was a scary night. And you think about some things and you realize some things. And this life is this life, but that's all it is. We're going to pass from this earth. We're going to pass from this earth. It's going to happen, whether by the second coming or that we die. We're going to pass. It's absolutely going to happen. And the person, the life, whatever you want to call it, that I'm representing on this earth, does it reflect where I want to be for the rest of eternity? And again, I'm not here to harp we're all sinning. This is supposed to be, hey, eternal life is worth it. So at some point I'll make that switch. But eternal life is worth it. Eternal life is important. It's the most important thing in our life. And that's what, when Zach said what he said about Carter, that I was like, dude, that's a perfect lead into my lesson. What did Carter always say? If you've missed heaven, miss it all. I remember to this day. Carter saying that like it was yesterday, I remember it. But he's right. It's the rest of the rope that matters. It's not this. It's the rest of the rope that matters. Zach's going to lead us in a song here in just a moment. If there's any spiritual need you might have, this would be one opportunity that you have. It's eternal life that matters. Zach.